1 tonight in your Bibles, Job chapter 31. And I say I appreciate the good singing tonight, don't you? And I thank the Lord for how it ministered to our hearts this evening. Appreciate Brother Tim and his folks being with us tonight as well. And I trust that you had a good day, had a busy day, but nevertheless a productive day. And I appreciate the Lord granting us health and strength and traveling mercies on the road this evening. Job chapter 31, I'm interested tonight in two verses of Scripture, verse 35 and 36. And I want to use these verses as a springboard to launch us into the thought the Lord's placed upon my heart. And to be honest with you, that's exactly what I have, is just the thought. And so I don't anticipate preaching very long at all this evening, but a couple hours at least. But nevertheless, I do want to give you my burden, and so may not necessarily have an outline, but I learned a long time ago I'd rather be in line than have an outline. And so just bear with me, and I believe the Lord has something for us, and you just pray for me, kind of a little jittery, and I just need the Lord to help me and settle me down. And you preachers know what I'm talking about, and we got to be very cautious. It's a sacred place. It's a very holy place. And I don't want to say anything to grieve or quench the Holy Ghost. And many times I'm afraid a lot of preachers do. We stumble and stammer around. I heard of one preacher, he said he was seated on the front row just before a revival meeting started. And there's this little girl walked up to him and asked him, or she told him that she had a dollar. And he said, "You do?" And he thought, "Well, I'm going to have some fun with this." And he said, "Young lady, this dollar you found, did it have a picture of an old man on the front of it?" She said, "Yes, sir, it did." He said, "That dollar didn't happen to be green." And she said, "Yes, sir, it was green." He said, "It didn't happen to have a one in the corner, did it?" She said, "Yes, sir, it did." He said, "Sweetheart, I believe you found my dollar." And she said, "In the girls' restroom?" So you have to be kind of careful sometimes. But nevertheless, you pray for me. I believe the Lord has something for us. Job 31, beginning in verse 35, we are aware of the sufferings of Job. And in Job's suffering, he cries, "Oh, that one would hear me. Behold, my desire is that the Almighty would answer me, and that mine adversary had written a book. Surely I would take it upon my shoulder and bind it as a crown to me." If the Lord help me this evening, I want to preach on this thought, the answers to life's questions. The answers to life's questions. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your many blessings. We thank you, Lord, for health and life and strength. And we confess our inability. We confess our inadequacy tonight. But Lord, we triumph in victory because of thee. And I pray that you'd help us tonight. I pray that you would clear my mind and focus my mind upon your word. And fill me, Lord, with this message. And I pray you'd help me to be a blessing to these, your people. And I pray that as we leave the house of God, we will have a deeper appreciation for the things of God than we did when we came in. Use us tonight, I pray. I pray for fresh unction, fresh anointing. I pray your will be accomplished. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. We agree as Bible believers that our King James Bible is divinely inspired of God, that God has breathed this word into existence. Not only do we believe our Bible is divinely inspired, we believe that our Bible is divinely preserved of the Lord, that down through the ages of time, despite the attacks of Satan to destroy God's word, he has protected and preserved His Word that you and I may have a copy this evening. Not only is God's Word divinely inspired and divinely preserved, it is also divinely ordered of the Lord. What I mean by that is God has strategically arranged the Bible in the order that it is in for a specific purpose. Our Bible is not in chronological order, but rather in divine order of the Lord. It wouldn't make sense if we were to open our Bible and the first book of the Bible be the book of Jonah, and we learn about Jonah and the revival at Nineveh before we learned about Genesis and creation. you and I would not appreciate the grace of God that we learn about in the New Testament until we first learn about the law, which is our schoolmaster that brings us to the New Testament. And so God has ordered His Bible in the strategic order that it is in for a purpose. Now, that brings us to the book of Job. Chronologically speaking, Job is the oldest book in our Bible. Job was written sometime after Noah and the flood and sometime before the days of Moses. Job lived in a day where he did not have a Bible. He did not have a church to attend. And he did not have the structure that you and I have this evening. But even though the book of Job is the oldest book in your Bible, it still finds its place as the 18th book in God's Word. 18 in biblical numerology is the number of bondage. This word bondage, it is defined as the state of being greatly constrained by circumstances or obligations. Does that not rightly define the fiery trial that Job went through? Was Job's soul and was Job's mind not greatly constrained by the fiery trial that he endured? God uses Job as an example to you and I to teach us that we will not tiptoe through the tulips on our way to heaven. Has been sung and testified about this evening that there are some disappointments along the journey. There are some valleys. There are some storms. There are some fiery trials that we endure. But aren't you glad as the people of God that He has promised us that He would never leave us nor forsake us? That in the midst of our fiery trial, in the midst of our bondage, standing somewhere in the shadows, we'll find Jesus. But looking here in the book of Job, you'll find that chapters 1, chapters 2, and chapters 42 deal with the experiences of Job and what he encountered on the outside. However, the bulk of this book, chapters 3 through chapters 41, deal with the emotions of Job and what he encountered on the inside. We as Fundamental Baptists, we are notorious for making a perception off someone's outward experience, but never taking the time to look on the inward emotions. Looking at the life of Job, he encountered the emotional distress of the pain. Lost everything. Can you imagine the pain that Job encountered? Not only physically, but emotionally. He encountered the emotional distress of pity. There were days that Job felt sorry for himself and the fiery trial that he was going through. He encountered the emotional distress of pride. There were days when his friends would come at him and bring false accusation against his character that Job would lash out at them and let them know that he wasn't as bad as they thought he really was. But out of all the emotional distresses that Job encountered, the greatest was that of perplexity. Job was greatly confused about why he was going through what he was going through. There were a lot of unanswered questions racing through the mind of Brother Job. Matter of fact, Job is a book that is filled with questions. There are 9 people that speak in the book of Job. Out of these 9 people that speak, there are 324 questions that are asked. Out of these 324 questions that are asked, Job asked the majority. Job asked 138 questions within these 42 chapters. And all of these questions that Brother Job asked can be summarized under the heading or the umbrella of one question, and that is why.
Job wanted to know why he was suffering the way he was suffering. When you study Job chapter 42, the Bible teaches us that God blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. And so as Bible students, it is implied, it is inferred that Job suffered the way he did because God wanted to bless him. However, there is no chapter and there is no verse in the book of Job that says, hey y'all, this is the reason why God allowed Job to suffer. And Job has more questions than he has answers. And Job, in his perplexity, looks up into the heavens at the face of God and he asks God why. Have you ever been in a perplexing situation? Have you ever been in a fiery trial? Have you ever been in a storm? Have you ever been in a valley where you ask God why? I received a phone call not long ago from a very successful businessman. On the outside, we would look at this man and say, man, this guy ain't got no problems at all. He certainly must not have any worries with his business and his beautiful family and his wealth. He's got it going on. But he called me in tears and began to explain to me a situation he was facing. And he said, preacher, this morning at my prayer time, all I could do was cry and ask God why. Now, I know the super spiritual saints, they say that we're not supposed to ask God why. Well, if that's the case, they've got a bone to pick with the Lord Jesus. For Jesus on the cross of Calvary, in God's perfect will for His life, cried, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? It seems to me tonight, ladies and gentlemen, there will be perplexing circumstances. There will be storms. There will be valleys that you and I cannot see the end result. We do not understand why God is allowing us to go through what we're going through. There will be days that the bondage of our soul and the burden gets so heavy it crushes us. And in our grief and in our sorrow, it's perfectly natural for God's people to go to their Heavenly Father and say, my God, why? And that is exactly where Job is in our text. Job is needing a word from the Lord. You ever been there? You ever needed to hear from heaven? And Job went through the majority of his fiery trial with no word from God at all. Job entered this trial in chapter 1. God did not speak to Job until chapter 38. The story is over in chapter 42. You do the math. Over 95% of Job's fiery trial, he went through by hearing no voice of God at all. As one preacher said it like this, the teacher is always silent when the student is taking the test. But you'll find that Job in verse 35 makes a very, very interesting request. He asked for his adversary to write a book. He's asking for his adversary to write a book. Now, in order to understand the depths of this one phrase, we've got to unlock the truth of this word adversary. When Job uses this word adversary, he's not taking a shot at Satan. He's not referring to the devil at all. For in the context of this verse, Job feels as if he has done something to enrage God's anger at him. Job feels as if he has done something to kindle God's wrath against him. So in this one verse, Job feels as if God is his adversary. And so Job, in this perplexing situation, he looks up at God, asking God why, and he says, Lord, I don't understand understand why I'm going through this, but Lord, it would really make it easier on me if you would just give me a book. Lord, if you would just write me a book that would contain all the answers to all my questions, I would read that book and I would cherish that book and I would have the words of that book in my heart. God, if you would just give me a book that would answer all my questions, it would make life a whole lot simpler on me. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, God has answered Brother Job's request, and God has given us a book, not just any book, but He has given us the book in this King James Bible, and within the pages of God's Holy Writ, it contains all the answers to all of life's questions. I may not understand it all, and I've come to the realization that I will not understand it all. But I've come to understand through this book that I'm serving a sovereign God who knows everything about everything. And even though I may not understand it, through this book I know I can lean on Him and I can trust Him because He always has my best interest in mind. Hey, friend, if you've got questions, God has answers, and they're found in His book. Hey, there's many storms that we'll weather where we look at the problem and shake our head and we've got more questions than we've got answers. But aren't you glad that God gave us an anchor, that God gave us a foundation, that God gave us a truth that's forever settled in heaven, and regardless of how big the storm is, regardless of how big the problem is, thank God it's not too big for our God to handle. I say hallelujah to God tonight. I don't understand it all. And there's been days in my life when my heart's been ripped out of my chest and the tears from a broken heart flow down my face. And I ask God, why? Why, God? I've tried to live for You and I've tried to live clean and I've tried to live holy. Why am I going through this? Oh God, what have I done to deserve this brokenness? But thank God for His word that shows up just in time to let me know that His grace always has been and always will be sufficient. I say glory to God tonight for the truth of God's word that answers all of life's questions. Hey, if it wasn't for God's word, we wouldn't even have a world tonight. In the beginning, God stepped out on nothing and spoke everything into existence. According to the New Testament, it is the power of God's Word that holds this world together. But you think about it on a personal level. You think about, you would not be where you are tonight if it was not for the influence of God's Word. It was the power of God's Word through the glorious gospel that shone the light down in your dark, stony heart and showed you your wicked, sinful condition, but showed you the cross and showed you the blood-stained Redeemer. It was the Word of God that drawed you to a place of repentance. Hallelujah to God. And when you got saved, man, you didn't know how to live and you didn't know how to dress and you didn't know how to conduct yourself. You still had a whole lot of the world, didn't you? But through the preaching of God's Word and the reading of God's Word, God began to harness your mind and God began to change you from the inside out, and God began to polish on you and God began to clean you up, and now you're saved by the grace of God in God's will, heaven bound with a hammer down, and there's nothing the devil and all the demons in hell can do about it, and it's all because of of the power of that book that you hold in your hand. I say hallelujah to God tonight for the power of God's word. And if you're in the same situation Job is in, with more questions than you've got answers, I say get him the book and let the book get in you and answer your questions. I remember I got saved about 7 and a half, 8 years old, something like that. And I really remember it really wasn't until I was probably in my late teens before I ever really got in my Bible. But I was raised in a Christian home and raised in church, and so I was exposed to the truth of God's Word. And I look back through 7, 8 up into my teenage years, and with all the hormonal changes and all the body changes and all the temptations, it was the truth of God's Word and the conscious awareness of what was right and what was wrong and what pleased God and what did not please God that put a guard about my mind, that put a guard about my body, and God kept me clean. And I give credit to God and give glory to God for the truth of His Word that guided me. And when God called me to preach at the ripe old age of 17, and man, I got in my Bible for the very first time. And when I got in my Bible got in me, and the Word of God began to change me, and it became more than what Daddy preached. It became more than the stories that Mama read to me. It became more than what the saints of God would shout about. It became personal to me. And it was God speaking to me. And it was God convicting me. It was God encouraging me. And the stories of God's Word came alive. And it changed me from the inside out. And I'm telling you, hallelujah, I look back on it now, and these years being in ministry and trying to serve the Lord through every valley and every storm and every crossroad, it's been the truth of God's Word that's guided me safely all this way.
Yes, sir.
And there have been days that I didn't know if I'd ever see the sunrise again. There's been storms, I'm telling you. I mean, I faced some valleys and I faced some storms, but nothing like I have the past 2 years. And I'm not whining on that. I heard one old preacher say, with new levels come new devils. With every step you take spiritually and every spiritual plateau that you desire to achieve, when you get to that next level, there's a greater, more intensified spiritual battle than there was the level down below that. And I agree with that 100%. And I'm not whining. I'm just going to give you my heart tonight. I mean, the past 2 years, there's been days I didn't know if I'd ever see the sunrise again. There's been days where my world's been turned upside down. Things I've prayed about and things I've longed for and dreamed about, my whole life suddenly was shattered right before my very eyes. And there's days of fasting and praying and agonizing before God. I'd go to God and say, God, I've done my best to live for you since I was 7, and God, I'm going to serve you no matter what. But God, why in the world am I going through this? God, I have no idea if the sun's ever going to shine again. I have no idea, God, why I'm going through this. But I'm telling you, in the wee hours of the morning, God has began to speak to me. And even though the burden may still be there, even though the problem may be there, thank God there's more grace than there's ever been. It's all because of the influence of His Word. I am what I am tonight by the grace of God. I'm a product of old-fashioned Holy Ghost preaching. I'm a product of a godly praying mama. But I am what I am tonight by the influence of this book. And I have no idea what you're going through or what you will go through. But I know that the answers to life's questions are found in God's Word. The first thing that our flesh wants to do is to isolate us from the brethren and to keep us out of this book. When you go through a trial, the first thing the flesh wants to do is run as far away from God as possible. I have no idea where you are. I have no idea. But if you're here tonight in the same predicament that Job was in, Lord, why? Lord, why? Why me, Lord? And I'm not saying that you're shaking your fist in the face of God in anger. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about God's youngins being honest with their Heavenly Father and saying, Lord, I don't understand. Lord, help me. I need you to help me understand, because I want to be a good example. I want to be a good Christian. I want to honor you. But Lord, I need to understand why. If you're here tonight in that predicament, you've got questions, God has answers, and they're found in this book. Job said, Lord, I don't understand why I'm going through this. I don't. But Lord, it'd make it a whole lot simpler if you just give me a book. God has given us a book. So how often do we neglect the book? It's amazing to me, brother, how we pray. We pray through it. We get home on church from Sunday evening and we put our Bible on the bookshelf and we pray all week long for God to help us. And we don't pick the book back up until Sunday morning. If we've got questions, God has answers. But we have got to get in the book. Sister, if you'll come and just sing whatever the Lord put on your heart. Father, thank you for the truth of your word.